Hello guys, welcome to Pastor Najat, listening half of the century. This is an unplanned episode. I know we have the unscripted, but this is way unplanned. Like, I don't even have a talking point. I'm literally going back to the WhatsApp chat I had with my guest to truly understand what we'll be talking about today. Let's see how the conversation goes. I have here an amazing friend. You've met her before when we talked about FTM. And she's here again, being the wonderful woman that she is, to talk about this thing called sexual and gender-based violence. Sha. All right, tell us, introduce yourself to the community.
Hello, everyone. My name is Lois Tofumi Adiromoshe. I'm the founder of Good News Club Philippian Missions and a certified gender-based stroke mental health advocate. I'm also a member of the Global Media Campaign to End FGM.
Me too, I'm a certified somebody. All right.
Of course.
Today's podcast is commemoration? Am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah.
Yes, of the 16 days of activism, where we are looking to end violence against women. What would you define violence against women as?
I would say that any act that does not go down well with a woman
is violent.
Is violent. Any act that you don't take permission, you know, from her to actually do, like, and of course it endangers her life, is violent. Because that fact that it endangers her life is what I would say, okay, this is violent.
Okay, feel free to use Google.
Okay.
Because I've been meaning to ask this question. I'm also in the development sector, I'm also in the nonprofit. But please, what is the difference between GBV and VAWG, which is gender-based violence, and violence against women and girls? Why are they two different things?
Okay, violence against women and girls is specified to women and girls, but sexual and gender-based violence is talking about both genders. Any violent act, not sexual, it may not be sexual, it could be any other thing, but any violent act that affects any gender, that targets a person's gender. If the person is a male, there are, you know, violence that affects the male folks too, and then there are violence that affects the females. But then for the one you mentioned, violence against women and girls, that we're just talking specifically about women and girls.
Let's go back to our school days.
Yeah.
I had a friend,
okay,
right, who is always dating guys that would beat the hell out of her. It felt like, you know, she would leave a relationship hoping to, you know, meet with someone who is better, but end up being with someone who still beats her up. And, you know, as roommates then, as friends then, we tell her, look, babe, you need to leave this.
Yeah.
But she always found it difficult to leave. Why do you think women stay in violent relationships?
Yeah, I would say that some women see it as normal because they grew that same way. If you check, she would probably have that issue from her family. Maybe it happened to her mother or someone she stayed with, maybe her guardian, or it had happened to somebody before. And probably she felt it was the normal, that, okay, this is how relationships are supposed to be. And when you tell her to leave, she's like, it happened to my mom, or it happened to someone close to me. So I can just continue doing what you know. It's another guy can also do that to me because it's like a normal.
So I'm confused. Then, someone is beating the hell out of you.
Yeah.
Why would you think it's normal? I know it's not normal.
Now there are different ways people think. There are different things that people have gone through. So there is a problem. It's actually a problem when a girl is seeing that as normal, because at the end of the day, the guy can kill her. But then when you see a girl like that, the first thing to do is to speak to her, get her a therapist. That, Omo, babe, this thing is not normal. So this thing called sexual and gender-based violence, Sha, is not normal.
Okay, can we then tie, because now the violence has occurred, but mm-hmm. this woman is not leaving this relationship because of a mental problem. Can we tie that to a mental problem?
Yeah, it can be said as a mental problem. Now, it's not all mental problems that is madness.
Obviously.
Yeah, it's not all mental problems that is madness. Now, there are some that happens in this way, like just what I've said. It may be true that she has been seeing that happening, you know, maybe in her home, her parents or people that she has been with or her friends, and it just felt like it was a normal thing for my guy to shout at me, for my guy to want to slap me or beat me. It's a normal thing. If he doesn't beat me, I feel like he's not correcting me, because she feels that that is a method of discipline. So she would probably not think about it in that way. But then, that's part of the reasons why we're doing this awareness talk. That anybody violating you or abusing you in such a way, it's called intimate partner violence. It's not right. You know, like one of my friends will say, anybody that shout at you first time in the relationship, shout at you second time, mm-hmm. just on third time, he's going to give you a slap. So it's better to just run before it happens.
From the first time,
because it would shout at you not only there, but it will shout at you even in the public. It will shout at you in the public, it will shout at you with his friends and all of that. And when you look at that going down, it's called emotional violence.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When you try to put a person down so that everybody will know that I have dominion over this particular person,
mm-hmm.
is emotional violence. Like, we have different types of, you know, abuse. We have the physical abuse, yeah. where you see bruises on the person and all of that. Mm-hmm. Unexplained bruises. Because when you ask, the person will start saying, I fell from the staircase, or I hit my head on so and so.
Madam, do you live in a flat? Where is the staircase coming from?
That's the best question to ask. No, maybe the next time somebody will ask, I'll say, so where do you live? Then I said, okay, maybe I'll try to know your house. When you live in a flat, how did you fall from the staircase? Or somebody even told me of recent that they use gates. That was gates that mistakenly scratched her cheeks. If you see the thing is a scar. If you see it on her face.
Gates.
I'm telling you, Bidemi.
It's amazing how we've gone from, you know, gender-based violence to violence against women and girls. We've tied it to mental problems, tied it to intimate partner violence. It's all encompassing. And then it makes me realize that this gender issue,
mm-hmm.
I hate to say it, but we are still far from where we ought to be. I know there's been progress, but things happen daily.
Yeah. And I think we were making progress before the COVID-19. We were making serious progress before the COVID-19. But during the COVID-19, we had a serious rise in gender-based violence, especially intimate partner violence.
Women were living with their abusers and they had nowhere to go.
Nowhere to go. We also had that even with female genital mutilation.
Yeah.
So it's as if it came back to where we used to be.
You see, this is why I'm particular in, you know, the smaller church is all about gender balance. I'm particular about reaching boys
mm-hmm.
as much as I want to reach girls.
Yeah.
Because we need to let them know. I was talking with my colleague, you know, this morning, and we were talking about men wanting independent women, but when they finally get an independent woman, they cannot handle her.
They can't.
And then, you know, things start happening.
Yeah.
And we were also talking about cross-generational sex, the blurred lines, how, you know, child marriage is not sexual assault for some,
mm-hmm.
for some people, how consent from a minor is not rape, according to some people.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went ahead to say, we need to let our men know. We need to make them frown at their friend's behavior.
Yes. Yes.
He's a guy.
Yes.
But that struck me, because if your friend does something like beats up a woman and you don't frown at it as a guy.
Because he also does it.
Mm-hmm.
And he feels
it's
right.
Even if he doesn't do it.
Yeah.
An accomplice for not saying, no, that was wrong. Or you guys really let him know exactly. to never try that anymore.
Very true.
I think we should try that approach. Yes. I loved it when he said that and it was pretty amazing.
We are involving boys, not boys now, we're involving men into desensitization. That's what we call he for she. Mm. Those men that they have taken it upon themselves to fight for women. You know, we're involving them because now you can imagine a man that his mom, the father abused his mom over the years. Now you expect that particular man or child not to abuse his own wife when the time comes. Mm-hmm. It's not possible.
Why?
Because he feels like, no, it's possible. It's possible later on if he has a good education about it. Mm-hmm. But then he feels like that's the normal. That's what I'm talking about, breaking the normal. That thing that people think is normal is passed from generation to generation. If my parents, my forefathers did this, I see my father doing it, that means it's a normal thing. If I beat my wife, then... I beat my mother, you know? But then there are some boys these days that have the understanding that my father beating my mother is wrong.
And it shouldn't happen.
And I should not continue this. And I should sensitize others that this thing is wrong. So we have men that are actually standing up for other women. And that is why we're saying that every other man should also do that. When you go for this thing they call the men's club. I hope you are watching that series as well. Mm-hmm. When men have their meetings, you know, they go for their clubs and meeting themselves, having their fun gist and all of that. They should also talk about these things. You know, when they go to have some drinks, that's what I mean. They should talk about these things. It's not right to don't treat your wife like that. If that one say I slapped my wife, I called her a pig or something, you should tell him that no, that is wrong. Don't say because he will not buy me the next drink, I should keep telling him what is not right.
Massaging How about, permit me to use this word, how about the right system being in place to support women and fight the moment they get the courage to speak. Mm. I've seen girls who have spoken out. They had to challenge.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, you were in there in one of our most touching, you know, an emotional moment. Was there anyone who did not cry at some point on that day?
Mm.
We had kids who finally had the courage to talk about what they were going through.
Mm-hmm.
And we went back to the school authorities wanting to take it up from there. But we were shut down by mothers. We were shut down by fathers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you think that girl will ever talk about her situation again?
She would not want to talk about it again. But if there's an opportunity, when she finds someone else like you, she would want to talk about it. Now, even these cases, we're saying we have 20%, we have 40%, we have 50%. We're talking about people that have reported their cases. And the larger portion of these cases are not even reported.
The thing now is, it's not that the girl was able to talk.
Mm-hmm.
It's that she thought that her parents would fight for her for talking. And nothing has been done. The person who assaulted her is still working freely like nothing happened.
Mm. That's not
the
right.
Problem now is not the talking. The problem now is what happens after they talk. What have we been able to achieve, you know, as NGOs and CSO? In fact, I have taken a pause in that outreach deliberately on my part, trying to figure out what's next.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what next after a girl finally tells me what has happened? No, you know, if it's my child, it's a different case.
Yeah.
I know the length I would go to. But if it's another child in a school, first of all, the process begins. You have to tell the school authority.
Yeah.
The school authorities will call the parent.
Yeah.
Then we get, okay, what would you like us to do this? Can we bring in the law? And then if the parent says no, because we obviously it's their child. It is what they say that we stand. Nothing happens. Do you know how helpless it makes us feel? How it makes the entire sensitization process, permit me to say, useless.
Yeah.
Why did we get them to talk if nothing is going to happen?
Something can actually be done to that particular situation. Because if you look at all of this, she told you because She wanted something to be done. She felt bad at what happened. Mm-hmm. And the fact that she's still seeing that person, you know, walking around the streets makes her feel very, very uncomfortable. So that starts with us. And that is the duty that we have, you know, speaking out for them, fighting for them. It starts with us going to the school, making them understand that this thing that has been done to this girl is wrong. And the person is still out there showing that he's doing it to other people. So it's not even about this girl.
Do you think the school has anything to do when the parent says no in a situation? Let me give you a story. One of which the girl finally spoke out. Mm-hmm. That her case was actually the worst of it all. And I was like, we are taking this up. You know, she saw me. She came to me. I was like, please, man, you people cannot tell my father. I said, in this scenario, we can't do anything without your parents' involvement.
Yeah.
They need to know. And they need to know
that. And because she's a minor.
Yes, they need to know that these are the steps we want to take, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
I was still, my head was still hot.
Yeah.
She said, if my father knows, the first thing he's going to do is kick my mother out. Hmm. I said, excuse me? He said, she started crying. Now, she was not crying because of the repeated abuse.
Mm.
She was crying because she knows that she will be homeless. She will make her, she thinks she's going to make her mother homeless if her situation, if her story gets to her father's ears.
But she thinks she doesn't know if that is what will happen.
I think the school did attempt to tell of the father, but they didn't get past the mother.
Now, there are a lot of strategies to use when it comes to cases like this. And I feel like the first thing to do, if the mother, because I will always say the mother, because she is the first point of contact. If the school or you or we as an NGO can meet the mother, explain to her that this is what your daughter is going through. And this, not just because of your daughter, but because of every other girl out there. And there are cases where we don't mention the names of the girls or make people know that, okay, this is the girl that has reported and this is why the situation is like this.
You can't find a name in her. Just as we are describing.
Exactly.
The story, I'm only giving you the story.
Exactly.
I'm not mentioning the name or the parent or the school for that matter.
Yeah.
You think that if they know that there will be this identity protection, they will be more open and willing?
We can, yes, exactly. You can cover her identity, make it anonymous. The most important thing is that the perpetrator is punished and other girls, or even locked up in jail for years. Rape is 14 years. If you can stay there for years and nobody knows about, you know, knows that, okay.
And it's forgotten.
When he comes back, he would have learned his lesson that if I do this to another girl, then... But now he went scot-free.
Psychopaths really learn their lesson.
They do. They do. Please, for those for period of 14 years that he's not around, a lot of girls will be free.
And then when he's around?
Before he comes back, he's supposed to have learned his lesson that this particular thing, I shouldn't do it anymore.
He will live with the stigma.
He will live with the stigma when he gets back. And everybody will be like, don't go near him because the information would have gone around that he did this particular thing.
Mm.
So it's a crime. I feel like it's a crime when the cases are not reported and the perpetrator is not punished.
Mm.
Because it's not like he did not know. He's a grown-up man. He knew what he was doing. So it's important that we keep the girl anonymous because of her future.
Mm.
But the perpetrator is punished. No matter whatever the situation may be, there are other strategies to, there are other ways to go about it. Telling the mom, please, ma, this is what has been happening to this girl. And, you know, other guys, this and the other girls outside are probably not safe because this guy is walking around. So please, how can you help us? She's a mother. If that was done to her when she was young, then she'll be feeling, she would not be where she is. Something would have happened to her. So she should put herself in the shoes of her daughter and every other girl out there. So there's an approach to these things.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
next year, mm-hmm. one of the things we'll be doing as an organization is to, you know, try to the SDG 17, yeah. right, where we partner with people.
Mm.
We're trying to really work with organizations. So we'll be launching an IG Live event.
Okay.
But that's not the main thing. You know, getting other organizations working together, bringing, having ideas. These conversations yeah. together, and then obviously, and hopefully these conversations will spur our next solutions, our next project. Like this conversation now can be the next, we can make something happen. We can mm-hmm. think of some solution we can do, right? That's what these conversations will be for. But the most important thing about what we want to do is we want to talk about bloodlines.
Mm.
What makes assault, assault? What makes rape, rape? You know already that we tackle cross-generational sexual relationships mainly. Yeah. Not because we are not aware of rape and sexual assault or, mm-hmm. yeah, we are aware of that, but we are particularly alarmed at how men
mm-hmm.
and predators
yeah.
seek consent, manipulate minors into yeah. doing their bidding to take the blame.
I like the fact that you use manipulate, gaslighting. That's emotional violence because she doesn't even know what she's doing at that stage. She doesn't know the implications.
So now this event, yeah. we have to start with you, in fact. Because when we keep talking about this event and they realize that, okay, these things, you know, is an abuse.
Mm-hmm.
I can come out of it. I can leave. I will not be killed. I will not be tortured. I shouldn't even start it in the first place. Hopefully, if we can reach people that have not started it. But yes, that is what we want to see happen. Mm. But beyond that, we want to let people know that there are no bloodlines in assault.
Yeah.
Early marriage is a problem.
Is a problem.
It's assault.
It's an abomination. Let's not put it, let's not use nice words. It's an abomination. It's not something that should ever be thought about.
But it happens, and because a 13-year-old girl is married, mm. she's a married woman, so therefore she's not being raped.
Let me just say something to parents that give their daughters out. Let me just create this scenario. Every time you give your minor out to an old man, because I'll call the person an old man, even if you're 40, I'll say you're an old man. If you give your minor out to an old man, you are giving that man an opportunity to rape her every single day. That's just what it is. You are giving him an opportunity to rape her because she probably doesn't even know what that is. But then that's the reason why we hear them crying, we hear them struggling during I've seen some of all these documentaries, you know, on early marriage and all of that. When you see them, when you hear cases like that, you are always hearing that they're struggling, they don't want it, and all of that. And after they are pregnant, they don't even know what to do. Then you start hearing fistula and all of that. So you're giving that man an opportunity to rape your child, pardon me. You're giving him the opportunity to rape him every single time. That's what child marriage is. And every time you do that, then you have put your child in danger. That's even if you know the importance of having that particular girl child. Because they feel like she's a girl and she's not so important.
Mm.
But the boy child is more important because he is the one that would inherit my properties. He is the one that would get married and have, you know, get married and have his wife and kids and then take care of. So I should invest more in my boy child than my girl child. And that's the reason why they don't go to school. They don't allow the girl child go to school. You know, this thing I'm saying now is not like it's an olden days thing. I'm saying it's still happening.
Yes.
I'm saying it's still happening. The same things you do for your boy child, the same finances, the same things you do for your boy child, do it for your girl child as well. We see girls that because of the way their parents treated them, they left the house, they trained themselves, and today they are better people.
Mm.
They're even better than the boys that the parents invested in.
See the way noises
Honestly, I'm seeing cases like this, and it's very annoying because a lot of parents put, even up till now, some parents do it even without
subconsciously. They don't know they are doing it.
They don't even know they are doing it.
I actually think that's true.
They don't know they are doing. They're not doing it intentionally. They're just doing it because, you know, this my boy child.
Like
this all
wired inside
of inside them.
Anyways, we are rounding up soon.
Yeah.
Like my colleague said this morning, teaching a woman or letting her know to be independent, like to earn her money, increasing the earning power of a woman is half of the solution. We need to teach our men. Is it teach? We need to let them know, our boys, to frown at certain behaviors.
Exactly.
And I think that will be my next call.
That will make them, that will even, help this work to go further.
Because
if the both genders come together and frown at the people doing it, because if a lady is frowning at a guy, it looks like it's because she's a lady and it's because she's going through it. Mm-hmm. That's why she's speaking out.
Mm-hmm.
But if a guy faces his own fellow guy and tells him, no, don't do this. This is wrong. If you do this, then you are an animal. Sorry to say. But then if you do this, then you're not supposed to be among human beings. If he would go back and think about it, that like if my fellow man would say this, that means he's not doing it, and that means what I'm doing is wrong. So we employ men and boys. I'm saying boys because we have boys in schools, and they have phones too, so they'll probably listen to this podcast.
Amen.
Yes, they will. Because we'll try as much as possible to, you know, relate it to them. So even as boys, you are in school, you are seeing a boy bullying another girl, and you are quiet about it, or you are seeing things going on in your school and you are quiet about it. It's our responsibility. It's each of our responsibility. Everybody has that responsibility to care for the next person. Don't just say, no, I don't know this person from anywhere. He's not my brother, he's not my sister. If you see a girl going through one thing or the other, you can assist her. Some of us, we see these things happening to our house help in the house. We see them happening to the house help in the house, and we're not doing anything. And we even hear cases of even the boys, you know, forcing the raping the house helps.
Well, this is just simple. So, no human is less of a human. I think we all need to relate with humans like that. No one is less of a human.
Mm-hmm.
No one. Thank you so much, Lois.
You're welcome. I'm glad to be here. It's interesting. It's like we shouldn't end it.
I know, right? It's a conversation. See, you've made me realize how much I miss podcasting. In the midst of having to move, offering my trainings and work, it's been really tiring. I've got episodes that I've not published yet. Uh-oh. Like, they are there, ready, but they've not been published to tell you about it's been. But you know what? You've rekindled the fire, and our conversations will be happening as, you know, people are expected. So, guys, yeah, this is another conversation you should listen to. And if you can guess what the next conversation will be, you'll be getting a free gift from me. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for listening, and do have an awesome, awesome day or evening if that's the case. Oh, what would you like to say? Go ahead and say.
Okay, I would say that this is not just a job thing for me. It's about our girls. It's about our women.
Mm-hmm.
And like I've said, it's each of our responsibilities to help every girl and to show love is very important. And I'm grateful to Global Media Campaign and UNFPA for this opportunity to do this podcast.
Oh yeah, we you had to do that. I'm so sorry.
Yeah,
UNFPA,
it's fine.
Global Media Campaign. All right then, thank you so much. Bye guys.
Bye.